Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Dave Buhner, also in studio with you today. And, friends, we are fighting back for a little faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century. Why? Because these are important values as established by the Word of God. The Bible does allow for liberty. Why? Because the Bible has established law. And the only possibility for any kind of liberty is by way of the laws that God has placed in His Word. And there's no way that we're going to enjoy liberty unless we keep the laws of God. And that's what our founders would say when they said, either you'll be governed by God or by God you'll be governed. That is, either you'll be governed by God's laws or you will most certainly, by God's sovereignty, you will be tyrannized. And that's precisely what's happening in this country. We do not have a self-governing people. We see the breakdown of the family, breakdown of morality, largely overseen by the social manipulators of the day. Yeah, okay. They want to be sure that we are softening in our morals and our families are breaking down. You cannot tyrannize a nation where 4% of kids are born out of wedlock. You can tyrannize a nation where 50% of kids are born out of wedlock. That's the kind of nation that is all open for tyranny. And that's one reason why these people who fight, they fight for liberty, they fight for the guns, they fight for the liberty from the drone attacks and all the rest are pretty much not going to win. Why? Because they will not fight the battle for a self-governing nation, which is only going to happen, by the way, by way of the preaching of the Word of God, by way of family worship, by way of working character into our children as they learn the faith of Christ and as they learn the book of Proverbs, as they sit in the house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. Friends, I mean, that is the only possibility for liberty. Everybody else, all these other politicos that have their own little conservative radio shows, they don't know what they're talking about unless they're willing to engage family worship, unless they're willing to stay married to the same wife for their entire life. Friends, these conservative talk show hosts with 4 to 5 divorces on record, and they are contributing as much as they can to break down family, to break down marriage, to break down morality in the nation. They're not going to do a cotton picking bit of good when it comes to the survival of liberty. Why? Because either you'll be governed by God or by God you'll be governed. That's what Benjamin Franklin said. And the founders of this nation understood that principle. Unfortunately, people today don't understand the principle, and so, of course, they're breaking down their marriages. Dave, we're starting to see an abrogation of liberties in this nation, and there's no getting around that fact. I mean, a lot of our conservative talk show host friends are talking about these sorts of things. Apparently, Glenn Beck did a Agenda 21 conspiracy in his weekly magazine or whatever it was online, and Slate.com now mocked him for his Agenda 21 conspiracy, where he believed that that Agenda 21 wipe out all freedoms of U.S. citizens. And so, you know, I hear Glenn Beck, a conservative talk show host, concerned Agenda 21, some kind of a United Nations international government kind of agenda, is going to obliterate all freedoms in America, whatever's left. I'm not sure what's left, though. I'm trying to think, what freedom could they be obliterating that our state governments aren't obliterating right now?
You have the liberty to kill a child in the womb.
You have the, yeah. Okay, well, they could obliterate that, but that's the morality issue.
You have the liberty to blow a whistle if you're getting raped on campus.
Yeah.
You have the liberty to, well, that's pretty much it.
That's it? Okay. Well, apparently, Agenda 21 is going to wipe out all liberties. And at the same time, of course, these international courts are doing everything they possibly can to increase abortion, to decrease the solidity of the family, to make sure that family economies are blown to shreds, to be sure that there is no marriage left in Africa, as there is no marriage, hardly any marriage left in America or Europe either. And so, you know, they're doing everything they possibly can to turn the entire world into the utopia that's been created in Europe and America. And they'll break down the moral fabric of the family and the structure of society and at the same time try to increase tyranny and decrease our freedoms. So, Dave, this kind of thing is pretty common. You know, I try to visit Alex Jones' website about once a year or so just to see what's going on. I'm not a big Alex Jones guy, but sometimes I wonder if we have enough tinfoil on our tinfoil hats. I wonder if we've wrapped it enough times. Are these guys right? Do these guys know what they're talking about?
Well, you know, when you talk about Alex Jones, the question isn't whether or not there are evil people in the world. There are definitely evil people in the world.
It's
there are
confirmed.
Evil people in power.
Yeah.
The people who are in power don't bow the knee to Jesus. Their ethical system is not a biblical ethical system. So whatever it is they're doing, it doesn't matter if they're part of the Bush family or if they're part of the Sotero family or if they're part of the Clinton family, whatever they're doing is not for the glory of God. And if it's not for the glory of God, it's not going to be for the benefit of the people of
God. And as it turns out, evil people like to increase the size of government. They just love power. Evil people love power. Typically, the good people want to decentralize power, and evil people want to centralize power. So if you see a George W. Bush increasing the size of the federal government exponentially from 2000 to 2008, friends, no surprise at all, this is what evil people like to do. They increase the size of government. They will not decrease the size of government. They'll increase the size of government. And, of course, George W. Bush increased domestic spending more than any president since LBJ. So just to remind everybody that, you know, evil people love power. And they will increase the power of the state as fast and as hard as they possibly can because they're drawn to power. This is what evil people are. Good people want to see the decentralization of power, and they want to see the empowerment of people down in the ranks. They want to see that there is an elimination of the Department of Education, and they want to see that education is pushed down into the local districts and eventually into the local homes and families, such that families, once again, are empowered to control the education of their children, not the federal government. Unfortunately, George W. Bush increased the size of the Department of Education by 300% between 2000 and 2008, way more than Barack Obama ever accomplished, by the way. It also increased the purview that this federal government has over university education by sixfold, by 600% between 2000 and 2008. That was a story that came out about 4 or 5 years ago that we recovered on this program quite a long time ago. But anyway, so you have people want to increase the size of government. You want to see people who want to decrease the size of government get elected, but for the most part, they're not drawn to power. They're not drawn to the power bases. And so what you find is that the power-oriented people, the people who just love power, the megalomaniacs, who want to see power centralized in Washington, D.C., are pretty much the guys that wind up in Washington, D.C., with a few exceptions. Then Rand Paul, Dave, I don't know if you know this, but he did a filibuster on this drone thing, and I guess the approval of the new CIA director, and it lasted for about 13 hours. So, you know, he did his little piece, and Rand Paul is concerned about the U.S. federal government using the drones to wipe out American citizens. And evidently, that's all part of the program now.
Evidently. There's so many places to jump in here, Kevin. One of the things about the central planners is they believe that they know better than anyone else. They know better than God. They know better than the population. And if people would just do their plan, if they would just execute their little roadmap for the future, that everything would be better than if they didn't have their roadmap. In other words, I was told once by a guy who was a civil engineer, when you do a college campus or a schoolyard or a playground, don't build sidewalks initially. What you do is you wait and see where the people walk. Imagine a college campus. People walk where they're going to walk, and they have their reasons for walking. Maybe the pretty girls are across the way, or maybe that's where the hot dog cart is, or maybe it's the quickest way to the library. But the paths will be worn in a year, and then you put the sidewalks where the paths are worn in. If you put the sidewalks down first, you're going to end up having to rip them all out and put in new sidewalks or constantly be resodding grass. Well, the people who want to go in government think they know exactly where people ought to walk, and they should only be allowed to walk on the sidewalks they put down. That's the conceit of those who believe they know better than the population, know better than God, know better than anyone else. So they come to power and they say, well, if everybody would just do what I want them to do, everything would be great. It would be wonderful if everybody got rid of their guns, if they all got the right health care policy, if they all used the right light bulbs and they drove the right energy efficient cars. It would be great, wouldn't it? Well, of course, that's just conceit. It is the worst kind of hubris. They're looking to increase their own personal governance over everybody else. Well, you have the other group of people, of course, who are libertarian, who says, you know, don't tread on me, don't make any laws for me. I'm not really about increasing the size of government or decreasing the size of government. I'm about recognize the king on the throne, his government. See, Jesus is sitting on the throne, and he is reigning. I want to see that whoever the president is, whoever the mayor is, that they recognize that Jesus Christ is on the throne. They're his minister. Then we can talk about the rest. But until we get that,
competition for godhood. Of course, the individual wants to be God. That's the anarchist. That's the libertarian that doesn't submit himself to the laws of God. But then you have the corporate man who wants to be God, and he wants to displace God by coming up with his own laws and effectively knowing, trying to predestine what everybody needs to do and how everybody needs to live, predestine the future for a nation, and that's the sort of deity that we're trying to create in the state these days. Well, let's get back to this issue here of whether or not we need to be concerned. And this is really the thrust of today's program, friends, is whether we need to be concerned about these headlines. Obama intends to use drone strikes to kill American journalists and political enemies. That's what you find on Drudge today. That's what you find on Infowars.com. And a lot of people are reading these headlines, Dave. I mean, think about it. I think Alex Jones is getting way, way more coverage than the John Birch Society did back in the 1980s. He's hot. He's big. He's really big. He's probably the biggest tinfoil hat guy in America, American history, perhaps. I mean, this guy is out there, and Drudge is pushing some of this stuff as well. Obama intends to use drone strikes to kill American journalists and political enemies. That is quite a headline. Obama intends to use drone strikes to kill American journalists.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
And wow. I'm guessing there's some American journalists who might be a little concerned about that headline.
And I think that's the point of the program, is to make some people concerned. I don't think the point of the headline is that it's going to happen. I just want people to be afraid that it will happen.
Yeah.
In other words, it's intimidation.
Yeah.
Now, I think Alex Jones goes too far to say, Obama intends. Well, we don't know the heart of the man. What it could do is it would allow him to do stuff like that.
Yeah, and he quotes Judge Andrew Napolitano from Fox News. You probably heard Andrew Napolitano, not exactly the tinfoil hat guy, but he says the 16-page white paper is written so vaguely that the logic from it could permit the president to kill Americans here in the United States. So that's a quote in this article on Infowars.com. So this it's a little more guarded statement there that based upon what this white paper is saying, that apparently was presented by Obama's lawyers in the Department of Justice just recently, gives the president legal justification for the assassination of any American citizen anytime, anywhere, for any reason. And that's concerning. Oh. It's concerning.
So let me put on my tinfoil hat and just say this is coverage for what they did to Andrew Breitbart.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Remember Andrew Breitbart, yeah. Breitbart.com?
Yeah, maybe.
Andrew Breitbart was all, yeah. You know, he was ready to break a big story upon something to do with the president and his background and his records. And that night, he suddenly died.
Yeah. But, Dave, I'm not concerned. And one of the reasons I'm not concerned, I'm somewhat of a journalist. You know, I cover these stories. But, Dave, the reason I'm not concerned is because I'm a nobody. And they're going after Drudge, and they're going to go after Alex Jones before they hit me.
Well, you can hang your hat on that if you want, but, you know.
They look at our websites and go, this guy gets 200 downloads. I think we're going to hit the guy over here with 200,000 downloads.
But you would serve as a good example.
Probably, yeah.
They could paint you as a guy, not in your basement, but in your compound.
But,
we want to use the language of Waco here. You're in your compound. You're speaking speech that is terrorist speech. You're advocating the overthrow of the regime. And so the government found you to be a clear and present danger, brought a drone over Elizabeth, Colorado, dropped a little payload, and now we've taken care of a threat. So all you other journalists out there, beware.
Okay, I guess we need to ask the question, friends, today. You know, how should we respond to this kind of stuff? Because my guess is a lot of our listeners are aware of these stories. I mean, I know people all over the place that listen to Alex Jones and are somewhat concerned about the increase in the power provided the Department of Homeland Security and the fact that it appears that the American governments are doing everything they can to disarm the American public. So the disarming the American public is going to be arming these fascist little KGB organizations called the Department of Homeland Security. And they're thinking, you know, does this look anything at all like Nazi Germany? And people are just kind of putting pieces together and wondering if this rise in the empowerment and the armament of the Department of Homeland Security and the disarming of Americans, this sort of these trends are moving more and more the direction of, say, Nazi Germany or one of the other dictatorial nations that wound up doing a lot of damage to the citizenry of their own countries. A lot of people are asking those questions, and I think those are reasonable questions to ask. Now, here's my recommendation, okay? My recommendation in terms of our response to these stories and these trends and the things that are happening with the powers that be is, number one, do not fear them. Because inevitably, fear of them, sans the fear of God, is going to result in bad wisdom that will set a wrong direction and a wrong trajectory for those people who are making decisions as to how to react to these stories. So, friends, you ought not to fear. If you were to fear, you might give way to the wrong decisions. You're not to cower before them. You're to continue to speak the Word of God. Continue to speak the truth of God's Word. What does God's Word say about this or that? What does God's Word say about the killing of innocent children in mothers' wombs? What does God's Word say about the responsibility and the right to self-defense? What does God's Word say about the right to own a sword, for example, when Jesus said, go buy a sword? I think it's appropriate for us from time to time to stand up and say, this is what the Word of God says about these sorts of things. This is what the Word of God says about self-defense. This is what the Word of God says about protecting innocent life in the mother's womb. This is what the Word of God has to say about this form of sexuality or that form of sexuality. We ought to be free to be able to stand up and say that. And Dave, I don't think that anybody who preaches the Word of God should just stop for a second and say, should I really preach against this form of sexuality this Sunday morning because I happen to be in Leviticus 18 this morning, or I happen to be in Romans 1, and I probably ought to bring up the fact that this nation has a problem with this particular sin, and maybe I should speak against this particular sin right now because this is a sin that is corrupting our nation, defiling the earth. And our people probably might be given way to these forms of temptation, and we ought to encourage them to believe in Christ and repent of their sins, and these are the particular sins they ought to repent of. I don't think that we should for a moment fear these powers, Dave.
No, we shouldn't be afraid of men and their little saber rattlings. You know, we could die. We're going to die unless Jesus comes back anyway. The question is, for what reason are we going to die? Are we going to die because of old age, because the use of our body has run out? Are we going to die for the cause of righteousness? And if it's for the cause of righteousness, should wear that as a badge for eternity.
And Dave, I think another thing that ought to be said about this is that sometimes governments increase their power in order to intimidate the citizenry, and the intimidation is counterproductive. It really is counterproductive. When we are intimidated by the powers and we're unwilling to stand up and preach the Word of God and establish the principles of God's Word and say these are the bounds God restricts government to. God restricts governments to 10% of the gross national income. And you have a government that's larger than 10% of the gross national income per 1 Samuel chapter 8. It is a tyrannical government, and they ought to repent of that sin. They ought to stop being such megalomaniacs, and they ought to repent and begin to push that power downhill. I think we ought to be always willing to stand up and say these sorts of things. Here's the Christian Crusader that up in Canada. Remember the guy who was fined several hundred thousand dollars for handing out flyers? Well, he's still handing out flyers. Yeah, this is the latest story. A Saskatchewan man has handed out anti-abortion flyers at the University of Regina campus in defiance of the Supreme Court of Canada's decision. The High Court ruled last week that William Whatcott violated the province's human rights rules when he distributed two pamphlets more than 10 years ago denouncing homosexuals. So the very next day, he went to a campus, I guess, and he started handing out more flyers about the sin of abortion, and people ought to stop being such existentialistic, self-centered, narcissistic pigs, and they ought to repent of those sins and stop killing little babies. And apparently, he didn't care what the Supreme Court of Canada is saying. He says, I've been in jail for peacefully protesting abortion. I was there 20 times. Nothing's changed except the Supreme Court of Canada. So, anyway, interesting story. That's from the Canadian Press, by the way, also carried by the Associated Press this morning. So, I mean, that's the right response, Dave. I don't think we ought to be intimidated by any of this. We just got to keep doing what we're called to do. Now, not to say that every single person is called to be a preacher in a church. Not every single person is called to be somebody like this, who's an evangelist, who's out on college campuses. You know, people have different callings. I think we ought to respect that, too. I mean, I know people who say, well, he shouldn't be doing that. I wouldn't do that. Well, okay. You don't do that. He can do that if he wants to. He's on the streets, and he's willing to, you know, put his life on the line for some of these things. I think that's just fine. The other side, though, I've had people say, well, other people aren't joining us on the streets. They're in sin. I've heard that before, too. You know, you have these anti-abortion pro-life protesters that just, you know, they're out there protesting abortions. They got the signs on the streets. And they come up and say, well, wow, everybody should be doing, you know, what we're doing, or they're just not really standing up for what's right or standing up for the kingdom of God, or they're not really being good evangelists for Jesus or whatever. And my answer is there's just a lot of different things that a lot of different callings that God is calling each of us to. And it may not be. My answer is that there are a lot of callings that God has for various persons, and we ought to respect those callings.
Well, there's plenty of sins to oppose. There's not just one. We can impose all kinds of sins, and there's plenty of duties for the Christian to do. A mom who's staying home, raising her kids, teaching them the nurture, an admonition of the Word of God, she's doing something to build the kingdom of God, perhaps even more than the person screaming down at the abortion clinic. So you got to figure out your calling, you got to figure out your duty, and you have to then implement that and manifest it. So sometimes it may be opposing tyranny, sometimes it may be opposing the death of children, sometimes it may actually be caring for and loving children.
All right, my friends, how do we respond to the issues of a growing tyranny? My first point was we ought not to fear. My second point is coming up in just a moment before we take a break. My second point is we do not respond in anarchy. We still respect the governments that God has established. We'll be back in just a moment.
Every year, Generations with Vision sponsors a family economics conference somewhere in America. This year, we are sponsoring two conferences, one in Washington State and the other in St. Louis, Missouri. For families who want to reintegrate the family into a family economic vision, for families who want to find ways to mentor their sons and daughters into the family economy, this is just the conference for you. How do you choose the optimum business dreams for your family? How do you integrate your children into the family economy? What about budgets and debt and capital investments? And what about inheritance and taking care of grandpa and grandma along the way? We'll have young entrepreneur panels, mom and daughter panels, farming panels, retail and e-commerce panels, audience surveys, and some great keynote speakers, including free-range farmer Joel Salatin, entrepreneur Eric Weir, and Kevin Swanson. Join us for our four-day mega conference in St. Louis or the two-day fall conference in Olympia, Washington. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com. That's FamilyEconomics.com.
We're back on the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson again. As we see the rising tyranny around us, how do we, as mature fathers, as Christians, as pastors, as elders, as leaders in the Church of Jesus Christ, approach a rising tyranny? How would you do it in Canada? If you were a pastor in Canada and you pretty much had to stand up against the Supreme Court decision that outlawed preaching against sin in the nation of Canada, I mean, how would you respond to this rising tyranny where you begin to look out and you see that the Department of Homeland Security has outfitted everybody in jackboots and they're going from door to door and they're looking for guns or whatever. Okay, whatever happens, wherever you see a rising tyranny, how do you respond to it? Number one, I said you don't do it with fear, you do it with faith. You've got to fear God first and foremost and continue to preach the Word of God. Because number one. Number two is we don't respond in anarchy. We continue to respect the governments that God has placed over us. Now, as it turns out, there are multiple layers of governments. There are local governments, state governments, and national governments that are over us. And so we have the question sometimes of whether we would submit to the local or state governments versus, say, a larger federal government. And do we have a responsibility to the lower magistrate versus the higher magistrate? And these are more difficult questions that are actually fairly nicely resolved in Samuel Rutherford's Lex Rex, in a number of different books that were written around the founding of this nation. Also, Calvin's Institutes, believe it or not, John Calvin talked about what to do with a state of rising tyranny in his last chapter of his Institutes of the Christian Religion. So there have been mature, thoughtful men of God, theologians, pastors, who have written some amazing things on some of these topics. Now, we're not going to get into some of the real details, but here's one. I believe that we always submit ourselves to governments. Why? Because of Romans 13. We're not anarchists here. We're looking for an established government, that is sheriffs, local sheriffs, community organized governments, and a properly organized state government or provincial governments. We're looking at these as hopefully organizations or governments that will secure our freedoms, secure our rights. Now, sadly, there aren't that many, and part of the reason there aren't that many of those that are willing to secure our human rights, our rights as established by God, or we should say freedoms established by God, by his law. There aren't that many doing that these days. There were more at the founding of this nation right around 1776. way, way fewer today that are all that interested in the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, the Third Amendment, the Fifth Amendment. There's not a lot of leaders who are really all that interested in the government that was established in 1776 or 1788-89. All right, my friends, so, but we don't respond with anarchy. And now, if there are lower magistrates that are willing to stand against tyranny, there are local sheriffs, et cetera, willing to stand against tyranny, let me also say this, that we ought to look around for men of significant character. It should go without saying that there's a little bit of a difference between the character of, say, George Washington and Tim McVeigh, the terrorist that took down a lot of innocent women and children at the Oklahoma City bombing a couple of years ago. It should go without saying that there was a pretty significant difference in the character of George Washington versus a Tim McVeigh. And if you can't see the difference between the character of George Washington and Tim McVeigh, there is something very, very wrong with you. So let me say first and foremost, there is such a thing as anarchy. And there is going to be a rising anarchy in America. And unless we have mature, responsible, thoughtful, righteous men of God who are established in the character and the faith that is presented to us in the Word of God, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. There are going to be people making a lot of wrong decisions, and they're going to be joining anarchical bands. They might be joining the tyranny. I know a lot of Christians who take the side of tyranny. They go to tyrannical churches that talk about how wonderful it is to establish tyranny, the sorts of tyranny that we see in Washington. And they really get behind the election of tyrants. They love tyrants. And so you have churches that are not really rooted in God's laws, and they wind up supporting tyrants. Believe it or not, it just blows me away that there are people who actually embrace tyrants, people who increase the size of government exponentially, like George W. Bush and Barack Obama, people like this like to do. And there are Christians who get behind tyranny and they love tyrants, but there are also Christians who get behind anarchists and libertarians that have an anarchical bent to them. And for that reason, I think that they are not properly rooted in the law of God, the principles of God's word that really ultimately establish the standards for ethics and define what true biblical character looks like. Dave, I mean, it's going to be really, really crazy to try to find the good guys in a mix where people have not been taught the laws of God.
Well, it's becoming more difficult because words no longer mean what the words used to mean. We have a Supreme Court right now that does not believe that the Bill of Rights is actually binding, that forcing you to buy a product is really just a tax, even though there's not enforcement mechanisms, even though it's not really a tax. But I'm pretty sure that John Roberts can find a reason to call it a tax. The letters T, A, and X are somewhere in the bill if he just searches hard enough. The same thing with the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Third Amendment. I mean, you go right up and down the Bill of Rights, and they've all been redefined, abrogated, and blurred. Now, if we can do that with the law of men, we're going to continue to do that with the law of God as well. I hear Christians play just as fast and loose with the meanings of the law of God. And the jurisdictions to which it's assigned, it creates total anarchy. It has to create anarchy because the univocal words, the meaning of those words, has been destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And so the law means nothing.
So a proper teaching of the Word of God and a proper understanding of the law of God, really, really important, friends. I think so very, very important. I hope that that's being taught in churches around America. Otherwise, I think you're going to wind up with a lot of churches during a period of time where there's increase in tyranny that look a lot like the churches in Germany during the Nazi Third Reich. You're going to see a lot of churches that are just going to kowtow, and they're just going to let the governments do whatever they want the governments want to do, and they're not going to protest it, as men like Bonhoeffer and others actually did. They stood up against it, but there was a very, very thin minority at that point. Well, I would hope, that by the time the rising tyranny comes to America, there will be a fairly significant minority of pastors who understand the laws of God and are willing to call the governments onto the carpet on areas in which they have seriously violated God's holy laws. Okay, now, Dave, as we talk about conspiracies, I have one more point to make before we wrap up this program. This is my third point on today's broadcast. Some people say that knowledge of the conspiracy is sufficient to oppose it. Now, Dave, I think we've heard this since the 1960s when we were up against the communists, and a lot of the John Birchers were saying these sorts of things. That if you just let people know, if you just do your Infowars.com and you have enough radio programs going on, and people are tuning in to the tinfoil hat programs all day long and all night long. They get more and more information, and if they get more information, they're more empowered, and that empowerment is going to change everything. Education is the key. Education is the key. Friends, that is way, way, way too simplistic. Way too simplistic. A lot of times the information just creates more paralysis, more fear of man. Man alive, a lot of these people turn out to be so incredibly paranoid about everything. And by the way, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean there isn't somebody out to get you. But here's the deal. There it tends to be amongst those who find out the bad news an inability to know what the good news is, an inability to know how to fix the problem. They don't know what to do with it. They have all this information about what the bad guys are doing. They find out all these evil things that are happening in governments. But they have no idea where to go from there. There is a hesitation, I think, to deal with the root issues. They might oppose Hitler, but they'll keep their kids in Hitler's schools, for example. Again, they oppose Hitler's agenda, but they keep their kids in Hitler's schools to be properly educated and indoctrinated in Hitler's worldview. They'll oppose Obamacare, but they don't do anything to create a private charitable system. I tell you, this is a lot of people. A lot of people, they haven't given a dime for private charity. But they're opposing Obamacare. They oppose government safe sex programs. But they got their porn issue themselves. They themselves are all tied up in sexual sin of some sort. But here they are opposing government safe sex programs. They oppose abortion, but they've got lousy relationships with their own kids. And Dave, I can't tell you how many pro-lifers I've run into. Now, this isn't everybody. But there's been a fair number of pro-lifers, Dave. They've just been dying in the wool. I hate abortion. I hate abortion. I hate abortion. And their kids kind of hate abortion, too. But, man, they have lousy relations. They don't love their kids. I had one pro-life guy say the other day, he says, I am really against abortion. But let me tell you something, guys. I don't like kids. So he said, I don't like kids, but I hate abortion. Very strong pro-lifer, so to speak. But, Dave, I mean, ultimately, I mean, there's all kinds of hatred. All kinds of hatred, but very little love. And where there's no love, there's not going to be good, solid relationships until their relationships with their own kids break down and their kids turn into, you know, homosexuals and lesbians and they rebel against their parents and it's just chaos. More chaos reigns. Why? Because the root problems really aren't being dealt with. And that is to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They turn into the church in Ephesus that hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which Jesus also hated. They hated the deeds of the homosexual, the deeds of the abortionists, and everything else. But, man, they lost their first love. So I think a lot of times, Dave, these people who are out there on the fringe, they understand something about what's evil, but they don't understand what's good.
Yeah, and it's helpful to remember that Jesus said his kingdom is not from this world. It's not worldly. It's not of this world. It doesn't come by electing the next president. The way you end abortion is when mothers love their children enough to stop killing them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would I vote for a law that made it illegal to murder? Absolutely, because the Bible says that's a just law. That's a good civic law. But would people still have back alley abortions? Probably, because mm-hmm. they don't love their children.
Right.
And because they're fornicating.
Yeah.
You know, if you take care of the problem of fornication and by protecting marriage, by having marriages work properly and parents who love their children, then those two scourges of society would pretty much be eliminated.
Yeah, exactly. So unless we get down to the root issues, friends, we're just wasting our time screaming and screaming and screaming about the evil that's going on in the world around us. So I'm not saying that some of these conservative organizations and conservative talk shows don't deal with that from time to time, but I'm telling you, overall, I see a lack of balance among our conservative tinfoil hat friends that are not really willing to get down into the root issues and really solve the problem. Ultimately, it's not going to be solved by revolution. It's going to be solved by regeneration. It's going to be solved by a fundamental change of heart and life and family life, and unless that happens, you're not going to enjoy much freedom in any place around the world. That's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is really the only solution to all of this, as we call people to repentance, that is to repent of their sins, but also trust in Jesus, who forgives us of our sins, And friends, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you cannot separate any of this from the gospel of Christ. Otherwise, there will be no liberty, because if the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed. Our only real freedom, a substantial freedom, will only come when we live righteous lives, but that can only happen by the power of God working through, yes, a minority, it doesn't have to be a majority, but a minority is going to have to get saved, get regenerated, and then we're going to have some halfway functional families out there if we're ever going to enjoy some measure of liberty from the civil magistrate. And that, my friends, is the real thrust of my book, The Second Mayflower. And if you'd like a copy of that book, I believe that it is possible we could see another free country somewhere around the world as a full-orbed presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented and worked out in the sanctifying influence of God's Word in our lives, in our families, and in our church communities. If you want to grab a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, it is available at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.